Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the West Coast Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Frias Guzman. I just want to say happy Thursday to everybody. I actually am going to get the date right today. If you listen to yesterday's podcast, I think I said that it was Wednesday, April 25th, when today is actually Thursday, April 25th. So excuse me for that, guys. But overall, I just want to say happy Thursday to everybody. Hope you guys are having a great week. Hope you guys are having just a great month, a great year so far, everything. You know, I hope you guys are doing good. You know, just wanted to go and get this podcast up, as I usually do, going to be talking about the Raiders, the Lakers, and the Dodgers, of course. When it comes down to the Lakers, of course, we're going to be talking three, giving you guys just a little bit of a preview, how I think the team can actually come away with the victory here today, and hopefully be able to go in and kind of put some pressure on the Nuggets. I mean, they're probably coming in loose as a goose. Not that they're going to probably come in not focused or anything like that, but we'll definitely talk all about the game and tell you guys how I think overall the Lakers can come away with a victory here. The other two things that I'll be talking about, of course, with the Raiders, draft day. Definitely a big day. Gonna see how, you know, we're going to be able to see how this team is going to, you know, look for the future. You know, what potentially could happen with this team for the future. Are they going to move up and potentially go for one of the quarterbacks, you know, that's expected to be one of the top five quarterbacks? Some people are even saying that some of the top five quarterbacks can be found going later on in the draft, like in number 13 or something like that. So we'll definitely go in and see. We'll talk about that. We'll definitely going to talk about the Dodgers, of course, as Yamamoto is on the mound today going up against the Nationals. We'll talk about how I'm thinking not only just the offense's turnaround, but definitely just the team overall together. I'm really thinking that maybe Yamamoto, of course, he's going to have some rough starts, especially being his first season in the major leagues. Even though he ended up performing very, very well during the, the World Baseball Classic. You definitely can still expect some, you know, a learning curve, you know, if you would, you know, mainly some time to get adjusted. There are a couple different things that are different from Japanese baseball to Major League Baseball. So we'll definitely have to go in and talk about that. Definitely talk about the game overall, but overall, even just talking about how the Dodgers are kind of turning things around, and hopefully we can start to see that this team is going to put it together and show us that this is the team that they put together, that they imagined from the very beginning when they signed all these players and spent all this money. So with that being said, though, guys, just before I get into it, I do want to go and remind everybody to go in and follow me on Instagram. I don't have a Twitter anymore. I ended up making sure to kind of delete that, or X or whatever. Just places filled with filth and everything, all kinds of stuff. But anyways, with Instagram, you can definitely find me on there. It's going to be West Coast Pod 702. Or if you have any questions, you can hit me up on my email account. It's going to be westcoastsportspodcast@gmail.com. With that being said, let's get right into the podcast here, guys. So let's go in and talk about the Dodgers here. Dodgers gearing up, getting ready to go ahead and go up against the Nationals again for the third time. This is now the sixth time overall, I think. Sixth or seventh time, I think, now overall. I want to say it was four games or three games that we ended up going up against them in LA. That was a bit of a, you know, letdown, if you ask me. Nationals ended up playing very well, which honestly, not really surprised about, because the Nationals ended up picking up some really great players from the Padres, from the Padres. Over in San Diego with that whole Juan Soto trade. And if you haven't seen the games, definitely go and check them out. You'll see what I'm talking about. They have a lot of great young guys like Abram, who this guy is really, I mean, besides like a few players like Mookie Betts and I don't know, maybe a few other people, like this guy is really up there. He's hitting with power, hitting with contact. He's you know, really, really consistent. He doesn't swing a lot of things that are outside of the strike zone. So dude has a little bit of everything, honestly. So you definitely can see that the Nationals overall, they know what they're doing. They know that they picked up really great players, really great pieces in that Juan Soto trade. Now, the main thing I really want to talk about here is how the Dodgers have kind of just turned things around, because in all honesty, everybody's been expecting the Dodgers to just demolish every single team. Now, of course, it's 162 games, and that's kind of what I've overall learned in my sports betting that I've been doing as of late. is that, especially in baseball, it's 162 games. Even the best teams still lose anywhere between, you know, 50 to 60, sometimes even 70 games. You know, all depending on what happens, you know. But ultimately, you know, you have some of these teams that are going to lose a good chunk of games. And you have to go ahead and just kind of understand that. I mean, it happens in baseball just overall. Anything can happen from just the team. The one team is cold, one team is hot. You know, they have an amazing pitcher. You know, they have the manager that makes all the right decisions on when to send out a certain player for a pinch hit or whatever the case is. You know, there's so many different variables when it comes down to baseball, and that's ultimately the thing that I've kind of learned, not only just over my years of watching it, but over this time of betting on it, honestly, as well, is that you can still find really good spots where a team that normally shouldn't win in most situations, but they'll win, I mean, because you're not only going up against them anywhere between 3 to 4 times in a row, but you see them sometimes even multiple times throughout the season, you know, so when it comes down to all that, this game, though, I think overall the Dodgers have been able to kind of turn things around. They maybe got a little bit upset over the little disappointment that they had in LA going up against them over there. And maybe they're actually going to be turning some things around. And I mean, I've kind of seen it, and it hasn't even really been the top of the lineup. Like, you know, Otani's been doing his thing. He's going to have those moments, and he's going to have consistent moments like that. Mookie's always going to be there. He's always going to have his thing. He's going to have his moments where he's really, really hot as well. Same thing with Freddie. But right now, it's really been the back end of the lineup. You know, the anywhere between 5, 6, 7, 8, even the 9 hitters. I think it's been one of the things that we've noticed now ever since the whole designated hitter rule got sent league-wide. Basically, every team has to have a designated hitter now. That honestly changed things around, especially for all these National League teams who always had to have a pitcher up to bat and everything. And, you know, maybe it sucks because, like, some pitchers, they actually enjoyed it and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But in all honesty, we're starting to notice that the National League definitely has the capability of having way better offenses than that one. Maybe just not like that, but way better offenses than before, of course, right? Because you have an extra batter out there. You can actually adjust your lineups a little bit different now. You can actually make it so then the back end of the lineup has some batters that can actually get on base to help out the top of the lineup, you know? So definitely great to go in and see all this. I'm really thinking that the Dodgers are going to be able to come away with another victory here today. Now, if you guys are asking me on the betting side, I really stay away from not only just betting on my teams, but I mean, maybe you could throw them in a parlay just to go in and, you know, spice it up a little bit more. But in all honesty, one thing, I don't like to go in and bet on my teams because it's a disappointment one way or another. You know, if they win, cool, everything, this and that. But if they lose, then you're almost disappointed doubly. You know, you're disappointed that you lost your bet. Or unless if you, and one thing, I hate betting against my teams as well. So that's just me. If you're maybe a little bit different, you know, maybe just let me know. But overall, that's just me. If you guys want to talk more about sports betting when it comes down to, like, especially baseball, my things, definitely always find those spots where you can take some plus money. It's easy to go and take favorites and everything in this and that, but you have to understand that there's times where, you know, maybe the team that's not favorite is going to be able to win, just like how we were talking about, you know. If I had my sports bets and everything up right now, I'd definitely want to talk to you guys about that. But if you guys would definitely like to talk more about sports betting and just keep, even from what I'm picking to just kind of philosophies that I've kind of picked up on, honestly, a lot of this stuff I've kind of found on YouTube. There's a great channel on there called Pick Dogs. They even have a website where I'm kind of picking up on all this stuff, you know, from them. Just even watching their free videos and stuff like that. They have all these paid subscriptions and everything that they also do, but that they also have, but this is where I'm picking up the majority of this stuff. But if you definitely want me to talk about more about that stuff, definitely let me know and I'll be happy to. So with that being said, though, guys, I do want to take some time to go and talk about the Raiders as they're gearing up as well. They're gearing up for the draft day, guys. It's going to be held in Detroit this year. And I got to tell you guys, it is definitely getting me pumped up. Now, I'm hearing all kinds of stories. I know yesterday, if you guys heard the podcast, you guys are going to hear me talk about how is the potential that the Raiders are going to be able to move up and be able to go in and go for one of the top five quarterbacks, maybe even going for their number one pick in Jaden Daniels. Now, is it going to happen? I'm hearing some stuff that's totally opposite. You know, some people are even talking about that there's a chance that the Raiders might be able to win and get like a guy like a J.J. McCarthy or something like that that's going to fall down to number 13 or something like that. Or maybe even like maybe it was a Drake May or something like that. Some people are saying that some of the top five quarterbacks that people are projecting that are the top five quarterbacks in this draft can potentially fall down to number 13. Now, is that going to be Jaden Daniels? I highly doubt that. I really think either the Commanders themselves or maybe the Patriots, one or the other, is going to pick him up. You know, unless if for some reason they have their eyes set on somebody else for some reason, or maybe they just don't want to go for that type of quarterback and maybe they want to just stack up more picks, you know. But from the sounds of it, it sounds like the Commanders are not really game to go in to do that. It sounds like they want to stay put. So maybe the Patriots is where it's at for us on that one. But we'll have to go in and see. What's his name? The new head coach over there, Gerard Mayo, has kind of talked about that he's not really set on anything, that he has no problem going for multiple quarterbacks in the draft or whatever the case is. So it kind of sounds like maybe Mac Jones, I mean, rightfully so, Mac Jones' career maybe might be over there. But we'll have to go in and see exactly what happens with all that. Honestly, I mean, even some of the reports that I've been hearing about from Tom Telesco, the new GM, even hearing back like his history with the Chargers and everything and how he's kind of approached drafts and everything in off seasons in the past. I mean, I still don't see a path, honestly, where he's going to move up. It sounds like he really, especially, this is my favorite part too. If you guys heard the podcast again yesterday, it sounds like he's not the type of GM that's going to go ahead and give up the farm for somebody, you know, or for a certain pick or something like that, you know? Now, would he be aggressive now that he's with the new team and this and that? Now, that's what I'm hoping for. And I know I'm kind of contradicting myself here, but my main thing is just don't give up the farm. Don't give up so much. You also have to think about the future of this team at the same time, right? Maybe, yeah, get rid of some picks. You know, picks are picks. You don't even know those. I mean, yeah, but again, potentially those can be players and this and that, and they can make out really well. It'll turn out really well, you know, whatever the case is. But there's no certainty with that. There's nothing to be 100% sure with that. And in my opinion, you might as well go with something that you feel 100% confident with. And if you're going to, and almost, you know, you hear this all the time, you know, people talking about like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with it. And I'm pretty sure if I was Tom Telesco, Antonio Pierce, I would definitely talk to each other and be like, hey, are we 100% sure that Jaden Daniels is our guy? Then come up with a game plan or come up with some sort of proposal. Hey, this is our current offer. This is our last, you know, our last final offer. Say Patriots or the Commanders hit you up, draft day today, hit you up. Hey, I want to trade back. Give me your final offer. That'll be your final offer. You know, just give them, you know, this year's first and second. Give them a couple extra if they won from round 3, 4, whatever. You know, if you have to give them almost damn near every pick from this draft, do so. You know, whatever the case is, like if we don't make one other pick this draft except for Jaden Daniels, I'll be happy with that. That's what I'm talking about, you know? Like if that's the only pick that we make, then that was a damn good draft. You know what I mean? Now, the other thing would be, I mean, say it is a possibility that a guy like a J.J. McCarthy or something like that falls all the way back to number 13. And I don't have the list or any, because I really think that trades can happen and everything, and teams can fall back and everything. So mock drafts are damn near impossible to come up with because there's so many different variables that can happen. So if it is for whatever reason that J.J. McCarthy is there at number 13 and the Raiders didn't trade up, then damn, might as well take him, I think. So, you know, in my opinion, if it wasn't Jaden Daniels, then yeah, J.J. McCarthy is probably my next pick. Of course, Caleb Williams would probably be right up there too, but I think it's really just those three. J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams. You know, I think those are like the C.J. Stroud. I don't even want to include Bryce Young, but I guess he had some good moments. And then, what's his damn name? Anthony Richardson, you know, from last season. You know, I think those are the top three right there. But maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Let me know what you guys think. My opinion, honestly, it's either if you have that opportunity, just, you know, I've seen stuff where the Raiders would give up damn near every pick this draft, which, again, I told you guys earlier, I'm okay with. Maybe it was like a couple other picks in next year's draft, which, like, damn, like, okay. Like, I mean, at the same time, like, whatever. Like, this is your court, this is QB for the future. Like, whatever, right? But then I also started seeing that they were going to go ahead and give up other, like, existing players, like a Colton Miller or something like that, if it was for the Commanders that they need a left tackle desperately. I'm like, well, with all the damn picks that we're going to give them, go get one, right? That's my thinking. But for us to get rid of, like, so not only are you getting rid of all your picks, you know, that could potentially replace Colton Miller. Like, I mean, at that point, like, let me keep them my first round pick for next season so then I can get me a new left tackle. So then that way I can finally protect my quarterback for the future, right? But maybe that's just me. I really hope that that's not the case because, damn, that'd be messed up. And then I've seen, like, even with the Patriots, that Malcolm Kuntz would be included in there. Now, that's a player that I'm maybe more willing to be to move away from because maybe that's a player that's easily more replaceable. But let me know what you guys think, though, guys, because my honest opinion, don't give up the farm. Stay put better in that case and then just build up. You know, you have already Gardner Minshew. You have Aiden O'Connell. They can battle it out in the offseason, which I'm pretty sure Minshew will probably edge him out a little bit. But we'll definitely have to go in and see, you know, and then just kind of roll the dice with that. And then see what happens next season. But honestly, if there's that opportunity to get Jaden Daniels, I wouldn't be too mad. As long as they really don't give up so much. Depending on how much they give up, I wouldn't be too mad at all. Like I said, if that's the only pick that we come up with the entire draft, I'll be happy with it. I would. Now, speaking of being happy with something, guys, let's go and talk about the Lakers. Because I'm always going to be happy with my Lakers. My Lakers are the Lakers. You guys already know I'm a diehard Lakers fan, as much as I am a Raiders fan, as much as I am a Dodgers fan. And yeah, that was a stinger. That was a stinger, guys. But, you know, I'm really seeing a path for the Lakers to be able to win and come away with the victory here. You know, they're back at home, back at the crib, back at the crib. With the Lakers, honestly, I mean, they have some players that are coming back in Vanderbilt. They have Christian Wood coming back. I'm not really expecting Christian Wood to maybe have a whole bunch of minutes and everything right off the back and everything, but I could definitely see Vanderbilt having an impact on the team right from the get-go. Maybe he's going to be on Jokic. I kind of doubt it just because he doesn't really have a whole lot of size. He has some length on him, but he doesn't have a whole lot of size. But maybe that quickness can always kind of interrupt him, you know? If he's really good at speeding up players that like to go into work a little bit slower. So maybe he can even affect you know, Jamal Murray in that sense. You know, whatever, you know, I really think that, I mean, he's just one of our biggest defensive weapons. You know, put him and AD on any team, and I think that's a really good defensive team no matter what. You know, in my opinion, honestly, I mean, it's really going to come down to just if this offense of the Lakers is able to go in and get clicking, but not only just for the first half. They have to be consistent, have to go in and put it all together for all four quarters. And if their defense can even play you somewhat remotely the same as what they did in Denver, then we should be fine. You know, it was weird how just, you know, the Nuggets were able to make adjustments. And I really hate to go in and just beat a dead horse here and just continue to mention the coaching about this. But Denver was able to make adjustments that ended up changing things around. Now, I don't know whose call it was not to go in and continue to go to AD, who had made 14 baskets in a row, but why aren't you going back to that guy? I don't care if you're playing a pickup game, a damn NBA game, a national championship game, whatever the case is. If you have a teammate or if you have a player on your team, and you, so if you're a coach or you're a player, especially if you're like a guy like LeBron who has such a high IQ and everything in this and that, if you got a player on your team who has made 14 baskets in a row, why are you not going back to him? I'll wait. You know, like, it's mind-boggling to me to really think that you're not going to go ahead and keep that rolling. You're not going to go ahead and find some sort of way to find a mismatch for him, to find, you know, an opportunity for him to go in and get a good, easy look at the basket. You know, whatever the case is, you know, keep that rolling. Until the man misses, keep it rolling. You know, or if you have something else that's going good, if they make an adjustment to that, then find a way to go and make that to adjust it back in your favor. It's a chess match sometimes when it comes down to the NBA, especially in the half court offense and defense. It's a chess match. You have all these different ways of defenses of being able to go and work it out. You know, whether if it's a switching defense, whether if it's a drop defense, whatever the case is, you have all these different moving pieces, and it all depends on how you orchestrate and how you move your pieces in order to gonna get your best attempt at a shot. Whether if it's close to the basket, whether if it's, you know, away from the basket, whatever the case is. Now, I'm really thinking it's gonna come down to, you know, just, depending on how much Vanderbilt's able to go to play, if he's not able to put a whole lot of minutes, I really would want to see, you know, Gabe Vincent was good out there and this and that, but I don't really think he should be on Jamal Murray. I really think you need some more length on him. You know, Reeves has done a really good job guarding him, especially in the first game I saw, you know, but we'll have to see. You know, do you really want to have Reeves continue to go ahead and have that kind of a defensive assignment and use up all that energy on the defensive side? And maybe not use it on the offensive side, you know, where he is really, really useful, where he can actually run the show and everything, which I think that's going to give us a lot of success. You know, when you have just D'Lo and Bron going back and back and back and back and back on the defense, on the offense, then that gets a little stale and that gets a little predictable. You know, you obviously know where it's either going to lead to one of them, to whoever's holding the basket or the basketball going to the basket, or spraying it out. It's so predictable. You know, you need to run some other actions. It seems like all I'm doing is just watching the same stuff all we've done all season. And yeah, it works, but when you're going up against a team multiple times in a row, they have a chance to be able to make adjustments. So we have to make adjustments back, or we have to run something new, or something that I hope that we've been working on, or that the Lakers have been working on in practices and stuff. But we'll have to see. But ultimately, regardless, the home crowd's going to give the home team a boost. I think we're going to see a really great performance from AD, from Vanderbilt, you know, being able to go in to show that he's a difference maker, even if it is like 15, 20 minutes. In those 15, 20 minutes, I feel like he'll make a good impact. I think D'Lo's going to have a great game. Overall, I think just the team's going to get a little bit more physical. And I really think that that's ultimately what they need to go to do. And I know it sounds a little bit more difficult, or I mean, it's easier said than done, because you have a guy like Jokic on the other side. But if they're able to be more physical, and if other players are able to help AD with that, you know, be able to go and be more physical with Jokic, then I could definitely see a path to victory. Because, I mean, Murray, at that point, then you really have to go and just focus on Murray. Whenever he has the ball, make sure that this dude is not able to go in and take over the game. But again, it's easier said than done. Throw different looks at him. Throw Reeves at him. Throw D'Lo at him. Throw Spencer Dinwiddie, who ended up turning out to be a really good defender. He ended up having a really great game guarding Dame Lillard, which I think Dame is a better offensive player than Jamal Murray. Now, of course, Murray is a little bit longer, but ultimately, I think that'll be good. You throw Vanderbilt at him. Maybe even throw Rui at him or something like that. You know, throw different people at him. Throw different looks at him. Even Bron, even AD, you know, switch it up on these guys, you know, be able to try to make them uncomfortable. But let me know what you guys think. Let me know if you guys think that this is going to be an outcome that's going to be positive for the Lakers. I do. I ended up taking the money line, or I ended up taking them. I think they were only getting like minus like one or something like that. But I ended up taking them in this game. I really do think it's going to be a low-scoring game, much like a lot of these other games. There's only been like two games that I've gone over here in the past couple games. But In the other games, I think the Cavs are honestly just a better team than the Magic. They're getting plus two right now, or 2 points right now. Take the 2 points or take a money line, whichever you want. I really think that they're going to go 3-0 on this one. I just think Orlando is just a younger team. And, I can't even remember the other game right now. The Knicks and the 76ers. Excuse me, guys. That one's a tough one. I'm thinking just because they are home, I'm thinking the 76ers. Maxey and Embiid are a little bit tired of losing those two games. They're going to come out strong, maybe be able to win. It's going to be a close one, but I think ultimately they'll come up with a victory. Maybe if they do come up with a victory, it's like 4 points or something like that, but we'll see. Maybe you want to just take a money line, but if it's anything more than like five, I would honestly maybe even take the points or something like that just to be on the safe side. But that one's a tough game, honestly. If you want to stay away from it, I wouldn't blame you. But the other two games, I definitely like the Cavs and I definitely like the Lakers tonight. I'll definitely talk to you guys more about sports betting if you guys like. Again, if you guys appreciate that, if you guys want to talk more about that, I'll definitely be happy to. But I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. And a shout out to my wife and her page, Rosie's Designs 2022 or EST 2022. Go ahead and check it out. If you haven't done so, I'll make sure to tag her on my Instagram post when I post the episode. But if you have any questions or if you guys would like to talk more, definitely let me know. Until next time, though, guys, take care. Peace.